Once more, it's my joy to say hello. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I bring before you another thought in the first book of Samuel, and it's found in chapter 28 and verse 15. I would like to say to you that the king, who was Saul, had a great problem with God. And he says in verse 15 of this chapter, I am sore distressed. There was a time in my own experience where I was sore distressed. A friend of mine came by and he said, I want to pray with you. So he prayed, and I was grateful for his praying. I was pleased to listen to his prayer. And then he turned to me and he said, you know, you're distressed. You're in a pickle and you need some help. And I have here, and he gave me a list of two of the psychiatrists or psychologists that he had been to. I said, thank you, as politely as I could, but I saw no reason for this. He said, you will find great comfort in these men. I went to them, and it didn't cost me so much. It just cost about $150 an hour, and I spent several hours with these men, and I got great benefits. There are great benefits that come from speaking to such people. And I want to say that most sincerely at the beginning so that you don't misunderstand me at the end. I am not putting down, and I am not saying that there is no place for a psychological examination or some help from the psychological field. I am saying that as a Christian you might consider something else. But first, let's understand what we do. This story is about King Saul. The Amalekites have been fighting against him. He's been losing. It's not usual that the Israelites were losing the battles, but he was losing hand over fist, and he couldn't understand why. Yet, if you turn the pages backwards, you discover in 1 Samuel 15 and 23... that the prophet Samuel turns up to Saul and he says this in the 23rd verse of 1 Samuel 15. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And if you follow that through to verse 22, he goes on and says, to obey, which means to obey God, that's been the whole theme here, is better than sacrifice. Now, sometimes we go to church and we go through all the correct things, we say the right prayers, we even in some places read the prayers together, and we seem to think that we have achieved something by doing this. But how can we be obedient? Well, do what we're told to do. Do what we're told. You see, Samuel had been told to do something, and instead he attended the devils that were all around him. He had to say to God, I'm in great distress. Saul had spoken to him in 1 Samuel 15, and Saul had been so disobedient to God, the Amalekites were not destroyed. You can read it. The whole story is fantastic. But he said when Samuel approached him, he said, they, the people made me do this. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do what you told me to do, but I couldn't do it because the people made me do it. In verse 21, the people did it. It's not my fault. The whole thing has gone kiddy-wampus on us because they made me do it. Because they went out and did it. And in verse 25, he asked Samuel to pardon his sin. In verse 35, we see that Samuel died and Saul couldn't have his sin forgiven. And so he was suddenly left with a great gulf in his life. In 1 Samuel 28, we read how it is that Samuel cries out, having been brought back from the dead, it seems, tomorrow thou shalt be with me. But notice, will you, the words in verse 35, Samuel came no more to see the day of his death. You see, it's important. Samuel didn't worry. He had delivered God's message, and that was all that was necessary. And he walked away, and Samuel could not pardon his sin. Samuel died. Now, I don't know how you see all of what's going on in your life and in others, but we have sometimes a sort of a roadblock in our lives, and that roadblock can become choking. In that, we find ourselves disobedient to God. One day, a friend came to me and he said, "The Lord told me that I should give such and such to his work." And I didn't give that. I just gave a part of it. And ever since then, my business has been upside down and I can't make the money I used to make. And I had to say to him, "Then you better hurry up and save up exactly what the Lord indicated you should give and give it so that you can heal your family and heal your heart." He did. And those things took place. There's another thing in the Acts of the Apostles. We read that two people, a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla, they decided that they would give so much money from the sale of their land to the Lord's work. And the husband comes, Aquila comes before Peter and he says, "Well, I have got XYZ number of dollars to give to the church." He didn't say he was holding anything back. He indicated, like everybody else was giving, he had given all. But he did not give all. He kept back what he wanted. He was not prepared to desert himself to the Lord. And so he was suddenly caught in a peculiar place. Peter said to him, "This is a great shame that you've done this, because you've lied not to us, but to the Holy Spirit, because the church is run by the Holy Spirit." And he dropped dead at Peter's feet. And an hour or two later, the wife came in and she hadn't heard that her husband was dead and, by the way, buried. But instead, she came in and said, "Isn't it good that we gave you that sort of money? Wow, aren't we generous?" was the indication. Now, I'm over paraphrasing this in a sense, but that's about what happened. And Peter said to her, "You know, you don't cheat God. You can cheat me, you can cheat anybody, but you cannot cheat God. And if you covenanted in your heart to give, then give. Get rid of what you said you'd give. Give it." And the woman looked at him and he said, "You know, your husband told us the same story. We buried him a few minutes ago and you're going to die too, and you're going to be buried with him." And she dropped dead at Peter's feet. Now, great awe came across the church of the Lord Jesus as a result of this. I wish this would happen today, not because I want to see the offerings go up, but because I want to see God at work and what happens to mankind when he recognizes that God is more powerful than the foolishness of his own thinking. What a thing. And here is poor old King Saul, king of Israel. He's been there for a lot of years. He's been a mighty king, and he was sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger in build. He was an athlete, tremendous man, but he blew it. He was disobedient. And God said to him through the prophet, "Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. When you are disobedient, you're rebelling. You may as well be a witch." Well, old Samuel proves that out because we read that he goes down in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. He goes down and he talks to a witch. In verse 8, "Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman," this is the witch, "by night. And he said, 'I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee.' The woman said unto him, 'Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have a familiar spirit and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life that caused me to die?' And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.'" What he meant was, as I made the rules, I made the law according to what God said, I'm going to break the law because I want some comfort and I want you to comfort me. And so because you do that, I won't send you up for execution, forgetting that there is an eternal judgment upon people who are wizards and are of familiar spirits, mediums, and so on. And we need to understand what it is that Saul has done here. He's going against God, not against the woman. Then said the woman in verse 11, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." You see, one of the things that evil spirits cannot face is dishonesty, and yet they are so deceptive. They don't mind you being dishonest to them, but if you're dishonest, they will show your dishonesty, and they will make sure that the world hears about it. And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said, "Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth." What sort of gods are they? Why, they're the evil spirits that come from Satan. And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said unto Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? The Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand, and given it to thy neighbour, even David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy sons be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Wow, that wasn't much good news, was it? There's no good news in that. I sometimes listen to people say they've read their horoscope. I interpret that to be a horrible scope. Why would we want to know what the future is? "For sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Today's got enough evil in it. You don't need to live tomorrow in the evil that you anticipate. All the planning for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's really a waste of time. How do you know you shall live? The farmers bring in the hay, and their crop is enormous. They say, "Well, God has blessed me with a very good crop. I will build bigger and better barns." And God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." Isn't it time we started to realize that God is in charge? Even the evil spirits are at his beck and call, though they like to think that working with Satan, they are at his beck and call, and they are obviously against God, and they are against the Lord Jesus. So Saul found no comfort from heaven nor earth, so he knocked on the gates of hell. He has contempt for God. He contradicts himself. He really has a contempt for the living God. He talks about asking God for help, asking God to show him, but he turns to spirits. He turns to others. He turns to the counselors of the day. He turns to the people that will give him supernatural vision and he asked them to be helpful to him. That's a foolish thing to do. He pretends not to be what he is. He's a real hypocrite. He reveals to the devil his needs. What are your needs? They may not be quite what you thought they were 10 years ago. They may have changed over the years. When a person says to the husband or says to the wife, "You no longer meet my need," what he is saying or she is saying is that I'm not satisfied with the choice God made for my life spouse. We all have had disappointments because we've put all sorts of desires in our own hearts and to the hearts of those that we say we love. But be careful, because if you look at Deuteronomy 18 and verse 11, those that study necromancy, which is bringing up evil spirits to bring up from the dead, or those in the modern parlance, the seance, if we look at that carefully, this is forbidden by God's law. Deuteronomy 18:11 says so. Can good spirits be called by evil ones? Of course not. Can we say that an evil spirit is a good spirit? He is evil. Look at the word evil. Put a D in front of it. It becomes devil. But we don't like to talk about devil, so we say evil. Satan has camouflaged himself. He's not recognized. There's evil in the land. No, there's devil in the land. We don't like to talk about God, so we talk about good, and we add an O, and we say that's good. We don't say that's God. So we have good and evil. We do at least get God in front of the devil in that expression, but that's all. It's important for you and I to understand, if you look at verse 9, the witch considered what Saul had done, not what God had commanded. What? The first thing, what has God commanded? And in verse 10, we see that Saul makes a baseless promise. He could not keep this promise. He could not keep the promise that the woman wouldn't suffer punishment by God. Oh yeah, she wouldn't suffer punishment by Saul, but she would suffer the punishment by God. So we have this sort of thing going on today. Witchcraft works. It does work. There's no point in saying it doesn't. Look at verse 11 with me. Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." Can she do that? Yep. Now there's all sorts been written about these verses, that it wasn't really Samuel, it was an apparition, and so on and on and on. I've read most of those commentaries. They've all got a good point of view. But the point is, and it's being made here in Scripture, that we sometimes turn to evil spirits. We turn to the evil way. Even the Apostle Peter said, after the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he said, "I go a-fishing." He said, "I go back to the old stuff. I go back to what was not working, but sometimes worked. I go backwards." And the Christian is not called to go backwards. He's called to go forwards. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's get on with the job of being the man and women that God want to go forward. It's important. When he said, "Bring me up Samuel," he was saying something that he should not have said. When the woman saw Samuel, she recognized Saul. In verse 12, why the deceit? The apparition was deceiving at that very second. And I believe that. I think this apparition of Saul was deceiving at that moment, but God put the right words in his mouth. If it were Samuel's body he addressed, he would have gone to Ramah to discover Saul. Instead, he went into the pit, as it were, of hell. He went into the devil's playpen. Those who will not receive God's love and truth are given over to strong delusions and believe a lie. She saw, not Saul saw. She saw the old man covered with the mantle in verse 14, and the mantle of a judge. And so we come to a conference. The conference Saul made came in a disguise. Satan discovered him in verse 12. Satan is disguised as Samuel. Such is the disadvantage we labor under, because the rulers of darkness are ruling this world. And in the lawlessness of these last times, they have greater authority, it seems, or greater ability. Samuel could not go up. God's man is with God. Verse 15 tells us that. Notice how he says in verse 15, Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I was sore distressed," and so on. How could he possibly come up? He was already in heaven. He wasn't in hell. You see, repentance would have served Saul better. The servant of God cannot bless what God has frowned upon. You and I have no blessing of God if we don't understand. Repentance and a cry for mercy is necessary. If we have gone away from the will of God, if we have gone away from the things that God has told us to do or to be, why, we have to get things right. It's like a child. When I was a child, I was sent to do shopping. My mother especially didn't expect me not to do the shopping. And when I came home, she wanted to know what change she got from the money that she had given me. She wanted an accounting of the things I had purchased, and if they weren't the right things, I had to go back to the store and try to change them, and it was my responsibility. Sometimes I felt very awkward. But you see, we have to put things right. If you're a Christian and you know there is something between you and another man, Jesus taught you what to do. Before you bring your gift to the altar, go and get right with that man. Go and do it now. Don't do it eventually. Don't do it next week or next year. Do it now, so that you may live a peaceful life, so that you may live a godly existence, so that you may be a man of God. It's called comfort that comes from the evil spirit in Samuel's mantle. He drives him to greater despair, and eventually to self-murder, which we like to call suicide. Had it been Samuel, he would have told him to repent and be at peace with God. Instead, he affirms the situation of Saul to be helpless and hopeless. And if that's the best advice you can possibly get, then whatever you do, turn to God. The servant of God cannot bless what God frowns on. You see, it's important. The terrifying end of verse 19 tells us this: "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee unto the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. It wasn't Samuel speaking. Wasn't Samuel there? It was a spirit that was pretending to be Samuel, and it was a spirit that was bringing the dark news that he would be dead. He would kill himself. Oh, dear. The capitulation of verses 20 through 25 are alarming. Poor old Saul gets wounded, and his sword bearer won't turn his hand, as he says, against the Lord's anointed and kill him, so that he doesn't go into the hand of the Amalekites or the Philistines. And it's just awful. Verse 18 reminds of past sin. He despairs of God's mercy. God's mercy is yours, dear friend. Turn to him and he will see you through. I know the ending here may seem to be jumbled, but how to avoid all this? Repent and be obedient to God. Receive no religion, only faith in Jesus Christ. Receive only the Lord Jesus. Trust him in the dark hours, the confused times. He will liberate and make you victorious. We must stop, but the Lord bless you and help you and his face shine upon you. Lord Jesus, bless us now. For your own name's sake, amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.